Hey, welcome to Speak Up Sis Podcast, where we help you get through life while giving you all your life. We say what you think nobody wants to hear, but everyone needs to know. I'm your host, inspirational conversationalist and author, Angel Charmaine. Today, I've got a beautiful guest here. Her name is Miss Renee Jackson, and she is joining us for season 3's Voices of Triumph. Not only is she joining us here because of Voices of Triumph, but it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and her story is all about how she got through her own personal experience with domestic violence. So, Renee Jackson, I welcome you here to Speak Up Sis Podcast. How you doing, sis?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
All right. I know that's right. That's what I like to hear. So, listen, tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are before we get into the meat of your story.
Well, I'm also an author. I'm working on my books, and two of them are out right now, and I'm working on the other three. Yeah. I'm a mother of five. I had six kids, but of course, in the book, I lost one. I have four grandchildren, so most of the time, I like concentrating and writing and coming up with good ideas, but more than anything, I put my faith and my trust in God and let him guide, and he leads me and I follow his direction. And if I follow his direction, I'll be okay.
Oh, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Girl, I'm telling you, you hitting all the buttons. That's what's up. So, podcast family, I met Renee through her book. She reached out to me. I think I had made a post.
Right.
Yes, I said something like, you know, there are some authors, I've been reading their work, and they probably need to do a little bit more showing versus just telling, you know, just to have some other eyes on the work before they put it out. And so Shirley messaged me and said, listen, I offered to read some people's work and get some feedback. And so, sure, Renee, I'm thinking the name. Renee messaged me and was like, I really like to take you up on that if you have time to read my work and give me some feedback. And so she sent me this book. Now, mind you, look at the thickness of this book. So when I got it in the mail, I was like, did I agree to this?
Yes, you did.
I really agreed to read this big old fat book.
Yeah,
and I held on to it for a while, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I had it for me, and I'd be like, "I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna read it." And then one night, it was late one night, it was just sitting on my dresser, and I said, "I need to read this woman's book." So I picked the book up and I started reading. And when I tell you all, I read the book in its entirety in one night, and I was texting her, like Facebook messaging her throughout the reading.
You said I was telling your story.
Yes, she was telling my story, my personal story and her story. And so when I finished reading it, I said, okay, I got to talk to this woman. And so here she is on Speak Up Sis Podcast to share her story. So Renee, I'm going to give you the floor, sis. Tell us where it all began, how it all started with you.
Are you talking about as a little girl, Shirley, or when the domestic violence started?
Wherever you want to start, it's totally up to you.
Well, I have to thank God for taking me back to a place I really didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. And it started as a little girl. And by me being a little girl, I wasn't a scary cat. I was a tough person. Mm-hmm. And one thing I didn't like was people that bully other people. Mm-hmm. I was called the ugly duckling, the ugliest person you can think of in the world. So kids basically picked on me because I had dark skin. My mom had my hair a certain way. It wasn't all pretty like other girls. It was a couple of, I call antennas, because they look like antennas. They point all everywhere. But that was my mom. She was doing the best she could for us. So as time went by, I didn't know how to fight. Didn't have no brothers. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because my mom always went to go see kung fu movies. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Lee became my favorite. So I figured, you know what, if I learn a little bit of what Bruce Lee do, I can start fighting these people that keep on messing with me. And it turned out way, I guess, a little bit worse because I got in trouble trying to do the roundhouse and the punches and the chicken and the, I didn't have the nunchucks, so I wasn't worried about that. The hands and the feet worked just fine. And I wanted to tell my mama, you sure finna get beat up.
You taught yourself some Bruce Lee moves, huh?
Yes, Lord. And I'm thankful to God that he did let me train myself. So it benefited me, you know, over the years. But even with all that toughness, mm-hmm. it didn't work when I finally met my husband. Now, I was one of them little bold teenage girls. I wasn't what people would say, loose or like one of my teachers said one time ago, she's so fast. Mm-hmm. I was smart. I loved being in school. I loved learning to read because mm-hmm. my mom couldn't read or write. So I didn't want that with that generation continually going. I wanted mm-hmm. to do something different. I wanted to learn something different. So when I finally realized I was tough, people called me pretty. I'm like, oh, I ain't the ugly duckling no more. So to be honest, when I first met the man was going to be my husband, his brother was walking with him. And his brother is like maybe a year younger than me. I was 16. Mm-hmm. But it didn't turn out that way. Of course, he sweet talked me. I was smoking cigarettes. And when I asked him for a cigarette, that's how it all began. Mm. And sometimes, I guess, bad habits can get your butt in bad trouble. Mm. So you learn a lot. And when I met him, he sort of asked his brother to leave the room. He taught me this football game handheld. You know, we didn't have that fancy technology we got today. Mm-hmm. But back in them days, we had some little football games you just press on the little.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was fun. He was teaching and showing me stuff that little boys couldn't. Uh-huh. In other words, the boys my age were too immature. Mm-hmm. I like the older men. Well, that was the first older man I ever met. So when he told me he was 26 years old, mm-hmm. in my mind, I was like, dang, this man old.
Wait a minute. You were 16.
Yes.
And he was 26.
Exactly.
Wow. Right. Nowadays, we would call that statutory rape.
Exactly. But see, I didn't know that. I mean, like I said, my mom was illiterate. She didn't teach us a lot of stuff. We barely had a TV growing up. So there are a lot of things that we had to basically learn on our own.
Right.
And so when I found out that he was 26, he said, is that too old for you? I wanted to say yes. But instead, I kept it to myself and I said, no, that's not so old. But in my head, I'm like, man, that is old. Compared to somebody that's 16.
Yes.
Is old.
He was. So exactly. You know, just a second. And I don't want to tell all about the book. Mm-hmm. Because I would love for people to read the book. And everyone watching or listening, I'm going to invite Renee to speak up Sis Talk Radio so that we can actually speak specifically about the book. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me to talk to her about this without mentioning her book because it's how I got to meet her. Mm-hmm. when I read that part of your story, you know, I actually, the whole time I was reading, I was like, he's a pimp. He's a pimp. He's going to pimp her out. He's going to pimp her out. Don't go. This is what I was thinking. I was like, don't go, Shirley. Don't go. He's a pimp.
If I can describe the way when I met him with the coat on the shoulders, walking with the cane and the hat, I finally saw the movie Superfly. I think that's who he was.
You should have seen me. And I said, oh my goodness. So needless to say, and I hate to even give that part away, but I actually sort of exhaled a bit. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, okay. Because I was like, but you know what's crazy is it may not have been a pimping out to other men. Uh-huh. However, definitely had the behavior.
Right. Oh, most definitely. Especially the part when you're thinking about taking control of another human being. And to me, I consider him kind of weak as I grew older. Mm-hmm. Because evidently you couldn't handle a woman your own age if you had to go get a child to try to raise her the way you wanted her to be.
Exactly.
But then I thought in my mind, men are kind of ignorant because they're thinking with the wrong head. Mm. One thing about us, we're not going to stay little girls forever. We're going to grow up. And right. When we grow up, we realize, hey, wait a minute, this ain't right.
Exactly.
You know, doing this. I shouldn't have been with you in the first time, place. You should have kept on walking when a little child asked you for a cigarette. Oh, you shouldn't be smoking anyway and just kept on walking. But that's not the way it was because his goal was to have 100% total control over me.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did for a while because you all ended up getting married, right?
Yeah. Yes. Only due to what happened to him in the hospital. I mean, with the brain infection that he got. Right. His mom is the one that told him that this is a good woman. While you was in the hospital, she did this and she did that. And I guess what she said finally made him propose to me.
Right. So before the marriage, though, you actually lived with him for years. So So talk to us a little bit about how you actually got into being in a full blown relationship with him, because he wasn't beating you at first.
No, he wasn't. I guess that was the manipulated part where mm-hmm. he wanted to just treat me nice, do a lot of things for me, including cooking. I learned most of my cooking from him. I didn't learn my cooking from my mom.
Wow.
And so I think that was his way of luring me to let me know that he could be good for me, which I thought. So basically, when I turned 16, my mom said I was like more rebellious. I wanted to go do things when she said, don't do it. She met Robert finally and said, he is way too old for you. But of course, I didn't listen. Mm-hmm. And so the first time I really moved in with him is when I was pregnant. My mom didn't really like the idea of me being pregnant at 16, which I understand. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want to be a grandmother. Me, I love being a grandmother. I'm just saying that. My grandchildren are spoiled rotten.
Yes.
And so because me and my mom kept bumping heads too much about me being pregnant, me leaving the house and stuff like that, Robert said, well, he was a manager over an apartment building. And he said, well, if you want to, I can give you one of these apartments and you can stay here. Now, what 16-year-old girl wouldn't want to be out on her own with her own place? But we don't ever think it's going to cost us money to pay rent. We need money for food. You know, we don't think that way. Are we like, wow, this could be my head.
I can be grown now.
Yeah. So the best offer he gave me, why not stay with me? It's my child anyway. We can stay together. I would be the woman of the house. Basically, he got upset and offended with me on times because I didn't know how to clean house. My mom did all the cleaning. She spoiled us rotten. It was only three of us girls. Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't let us wash dishes. She wouldn't let us do basically nothing. So I was like weird to him because most girls he knew how to cook, knew how to clean up the house, stuff like that. Not me. So I learned it step by step, and then I started cleaning the house better than him. So now I am the woman of the house. Now mm-hmm. I'm doing all the cleaning, but he's still doing the cooking. Mm-hmm. But I would learn from him, and it went from there. So the first time he ever hit me, it was when I was 2 months pregnant.
Oh, wow. So the hitting didn't take long to show up.
Yes, it did not take long to show up. And the weirdest thing about that, Angel, is that I used to see a pimp that used to stay where my mother stayed at. Mm-hmm. And I see him beating this woman, asking her, where's her money, stuff like that. And I looked right at my mom and I said, Mama, oh, I forgot. I called the man Moby Black.
Oh, that's what you called him?
I had this habit when I was a little girl, always like nicknaming people, like this girl named Pam. Her mother put the rubber band so tight on her head that the hair started coming out. So it was like clean. So I would call her eight off the head, Pam. So in a way, I guess I was a bully, but I only bullied her when she bullied me. Okay. I don't go pick on people unless they pick on me. So, but anyway, getting back to Moby Black, I told my mama, I said, I ain't gonna never be with nobody that abuses and hurt me. And it's like I spoke it out in existence, because a year or whatever later, when I met him, that's exactly what happened to me. Mm-hmm. So now I know never say never, because you don't know what you're going to do under certain circumstances.
Right.
So when my point is with him, when he hit me, how can I say this? It was a shocker. I've seen the movie, what is that, with Jennifer Lopez, Enough.
Mm-hmm.
She don't know what that actually feels like. Because I looked at the movie, but I didn't feel the movie. And unless you've been in somebody's shoes, that shock is going to be stunned. You're going to be like, did he really hit me? And then you're like scared to move. You're frozen. Because you don't know now what to do. I'm tough. This man is... He's bigger, he's taller, he's older. I don't know what he's going to do. Right. So when he hit me, it was because he asked me to sit down somewhere. And I was ready to go home because we just got in an argument. I forgot what the argument was about, but I was ready to go back home. And so he said, sit down, you're not going nowhere. And I said, oh, yes, I am, because I was that bold.
Right.
And when I stood up, he just grabbed me and hit me so hard. And my face is like your whole cheek. It's like cracking, but wow.
his fist?
With his fist. It wasn't no slap. It was this.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe that. I mean, so I finally did what he said, dude, and I laid down in the bed, and I was holding my stomach, knowing that there was a baby growing inside of me, and so I couldn't move. I was too busy crying. He left the room, so I'm still in there crying. All of a sudden, he comes back. And the first thing he says, I'm sorry, Renee. I didn't mean to do that to you. But I want you to understand I'm the boss here. And when I tell you to do something, I say, what about the baby? And I even got mad and actually hit myself in the stomach. Who I was trying to hurt, I have no idea. Was I trying to hurt the baby? Was I trying to hurt me? Was I trying to hurt him? At that time, I didn't know. And then he held my hands and he said, don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. So I was thinking, I say, maybe I got a little bit upper hand. But that's not me. But under the pressure and what happened to me, that was the only thing I could think of.
Right.
So after the apology, I said, he said, I ain't going to do it no more. Mm-hmm. That's the number one key. I'm not going to hit you anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. It took 5 months later for him to do it again. And he had the nerve to tell me, I was 7 months pregnant. This man lifts me up off the couch, holds me up in the midair, and just He threw me so hard down on the floor, my whole side hit against the bottom chair of the sofa. And it like hit me in the side and I was holding it. I thought I actually lost the baby, but thank God I didn't. That's my oldest son. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really scared because I thought he was going to stop. And then in a few months, I don't drink, mm-hmm. but that's the whining and dining. In other words, treat her real nice.
Yeah.
Cook for her. Mm-hmm. Take her to a few places, but we didn't never really go nowhere. He was such a jealous type that if men looked at me, he didn't blame the men, he blamed me for it.
Mm.
And I thought it was okay to look good for your so-called man.
Right.
But if other people look at you, now you get beat just because they're looking at you. So I couldn't even talk to other men. I couldn't even smile at other men. I could only have maybe my family as my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have no real friends unless they were women.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So you can watch them and beat me? Mm-hmm. So I didn't have no friends. It was basically him, me, his brother, and then later on my sister and his brother, her kids and my kids. So we started.
You're still 16 years old. Are you 17?
No, I'm still 16 at that point. When I was 7 months pregnant, I was still 16 because I was 16 when I had my oldest son, 2 months from turning 17.
Gotcha. So, my goodness, that's a lot. I feel like I need to breathe.
Yeah, I had to do the same thing. I mean, I'm glad that I can talk about it without crying, getting emotional, mm-hmm. but it still hurts. It's deep down mm-hmm. in the back of my mind somewhere. And so when it comes to resurfacing, I'm remembering everything as though it was yesterday.
Wow.
But the good thing about it is God being my protector, he helps me with those emotions. So I won't keep breaking down every time I talk about it.
Exactly.
He's giving me that strength to be able to tell other people we can get past this.
Yes.
We can get past the hurt and the pain, but until you face it and address it and talk about it, you're going to go in every relationship with that same mentality. And two hurt people can't hurt help each other at all.
Exactly. Yeah. I truly believe that sharing the word of our testimonies help us to overcome, just like scripture says. And you get to a place, and I've said this before about my testimony as well as other people's testimonies, is that there are some people I believe God knows can't handle remembering. So they don't remember anything. They can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are others of us that he allows to remember so that we can share it because it is aligned to what it is he has for mm-hmm. us to do. Mm-hmm. And you get to a point with the sharing to what I call it, your soul doesn't cry anymore. You get
right.
to a place.
Right.
I knew when I was healed, mm-hmm. when my soul didn't cry.
Right.
And when
right.
my soul stopped crying,
mm-hmm.
right, it's like my eyes dried up too. and occasionally I may get so overwhelmed with just how good God is about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I may cry, but it's not coming from a place of
pain and hurt.
Pain and hurt.
Joy and triumph. Hey.
Yes. So I bless God that you're able to share, because mm-hmm. there is somebody listening who's either living in it right now,
right, right,
or who just got out of it,
exactly,
or who's been out of it and are still bitter and hurt,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right,
you know, and they need to hear what you have to say. So now you're 7 months pregnant and mm-hmm. hit you again. And I really don't want to tell the whole story because I really want them to read the book. I want them to get, I mean, they haven't even gotten, this isn't even a scratch of the surface.
No, it is not.
You just gotta read it. And to read it from the beginning, I mean, mm-hmm. you just gotta read it. So here you are, you're 16, you're 7 months pregnant, and mm-hmm. he's throwing you across the room.
Right.
Why don't you go home to your mother?
Because he threatened me. He said, I know where your mama stay. My mama was my only parent. Mm-hmm. Never knew my dad. Mm-hmm. So the thought of somebody hurting my mom like he was hurting me terrified me. I cared more about what would happen to my mom than I cared about what happened to me. So that was the reason why I stayed around him and found out men like to make threats. And they do that so you can stay with them. They're going to either threaten to hurt you or threaten to hurt somebody in your family. Mm-hmm. And the main thing they like doing is separating you from your family. I didn't see that then. I was too young. I didn't know that this man was doing this so it could benefit him. Mm-hmm. And I told him straight out, because see, I have an uncle, a favorite uncle that lived in Katy. He's no longer here, but he lived in Katy then. And my grandmother died April 1981. My son was born in March 1981. Mm-hmm. Here, my grandmother then died. So we had to go to the funeral. We had to repass, but a lot of us family members got together, and he didn't really want to babysit our own baby. Mm. But I knew I couldn't go driving way out of town to and take a little baby with me. So I said, can you watch him? At least for this. My grandmother died. Yeah, I guess I'll watch him. I'll watch him. And inside, I'm praying to God, please let my baby be okay. But mm-hmm. I need to go to my grandmother's funeral. So when I go to the funeral, I gave him the phone number to my uncle's house in case he needed to talk to me. Me and my family having a good time. We're going over what my grandmother did, what she said, hit us with this little shoe that we thought hurt us when it didn't hurt us. It was a slipper. But just the thought of her hitting us with it. And he kept calling, like maybe every other 10 or 15 minutes. When are you coming back? When are you going to do this? And I'm hearing my son crying in the background. So my uncle looks at me and he said, Renee, is everything okay? And I said, yeah, everything is okay. I'm lying. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to keep it cool because I didn't want my family to know what I was going through. So when I get back, we were there for hours. And when I got back home, of course, our son was asleep. But you want to attack me. Mm. What was you doing? Effing your uncle?
No.
What was you doing? Effing your cousins? Not that my grandmother just died. That you can show me some sympathy, and I cried like a baby. Cried like a baby. Yeah, you should be crying. You better shut up before I do this or I do that. So now I'm hushed. Mm-hmm. I'm crying because I lost my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And I'm crying because I'm with this piece of crap that I'm scared to get away from. Now, mm-hmm. mind you, Angel, a lot of times when me and Robert was together, it was not always. Right. If I can use an example like The Color Purple, I don't mean to use movie references.
I sing songs for everything. So it's okay. I got a song for everything, I promise you. So the movies are fine.
I can use Seeley as an example. You know, Mr. was very abusive, mm-hmm. but he wasn't abusive all the time. Right. Basically, sometimes they got along. Long as she cooked, cleaned, did whatever, they got along. And that's what I sort of did with myself. I paced mm-hmm. myself. Try not to say this to make him upset. Try not to do this to make him upset. But I learned something, Angel. Whether I dress nice, pretty the way I want to, or I dress ugly on the way he really wanted me to, men still said stuff to me, and he still hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I made up the decision. If you're going to hurt me when I look good, and you're going to hurt me when I don't look so good, I'm going to choose to keep looking good.
That's a strong little something.
Because I might as well get hurt looking my best. Because mm. either way it go, he had a problem with it. Like, I know that's in the book, and you said don't give too much detail.
Oh, you can
but when I did the makeup thing, me and him both was looking in the mirror. And, to be honest, I was never a makeup person. I don't wear a lot of stuff on my skin. It's just eyebrow, lipstick, and mascara. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And the first time I tried it, I don't even know how old I was. Maybe 26, 27. Mm-hmm. We standing in the mirror, and I finally learned how to do this. He puts on eyebrow pencil. What the hell for? Would a man put on eyebrow pencil? I don't know. But She looks in the mirror. Oh, you look real pretty. You look really good. And I was like, thank you. Yeah, don't let that go to your head. It started changing from a compliment to almost an insult.
Mm.
And the next thing that I know, he started rubbing it off my face. And I'm why are you doing this? And he just kept on rubbing like a madman. He wanted to rub off the mascara, the lipstick, everything. And when I got mad, I bounced away from him and he comes up right behind me. And he puts his whole arm pressed against my bone and he chokes me so bad, blood came out.
Mm.
I'll never forget that.
Ooh.
So,
and you said 26.
I was like,
means that at this point, you've been with this man for 10 years.
Exactly.
Has anyone realized at this point that Renee is getting beaten?
Mm. I never told anybody. Now, my sister stayed in the house with me with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So when we finally got a big house together, we just decided we would all stay together and split up the bills, blah, 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 all that. Two sisters, two brothers. So my first five kids and my sister's kids, they're like full-fledged cousins. And the thing about it is his brother wanted to be like him, but he didn't beat my sister like he kept beating me.
Oh, wow.
So if anybody hear me get beat or hurt in the house, they ain't gonna say nothing. Not even my own sister. They don't call the police. Nobody does anything. I guess maybe they felt, well, if she ain't gonna call them, why should we call them?
Mm.
I was scared of getting more hurt. And people said, well, if you're gonna keep on getting hurt, why don't you just go on and go? Just go out. I got these kids. I don't know where I'm going. And then I don't know what he's gonna do to me when I try to go. And then what he's gonna do to my mama. That part stays.
So even at 26, you're still remembering what he told you at 16.
Because he kept making a threat. He kept making a threat. But the worst time things got bad was every time when he was doing this, drinking. We got along really good when he wasn't drinking, but when he drinks, it's like he became another person. Like he felt bold enough to say what was on his mind that he could have said when he was sober.
Mm.
So I had to learn a lot of things at a young age, you know, and basically to keep a roof over me and my kids' head. To go out there in the world that I've never been subjected to.
Uh-huh.
How do I do this? I mean, where do I go? The first time we went to a shelter, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to be at no shelter. I got a house. Why am I in here with all of these people? Not realizing we all had the same thing in common. We could have helped each other. But my pride, I guess I had some pride.
Oh, I'm sure. pride is what sounds to me like pride is what walked you right on up in there with that demon.
Yes.
I read the book. And so I remember reading and thinking to myself, she really thinks she grown.
Yes.
She really thinks she can handle this. She really
I always tell myself a lot of times, if I can go back and find myself back then, I'll go beat the crap out of her. And I'm serious. The only thing I don't regret about that relationship is my kids.
Yes.
And I learned more about God being in that relationship.
Yeah.
Than I did when I was younger. I knew of God. That's how come I started the book that way. Because of what my mom taught me. If I didn't know who God was, I would have died at 13. Mm-hmm. And I know I would have died at 13 when I was in that pool. Yeah. So by me knowing him and moving forward, I made sure I got closer to him. Because I felt like God was the only one that can get me out of this. Mm-hmm. Nobody else knew I was getting beat. Nobody else knew what was happening to me. Mm-hmm. And when I finally told my mama, she cried. It was years and years later when I finally told her.
Wow.
And she cried and she said, Renee, you need to get out of that. Get out of that now. And I said, Mama, how? I don't know how.
Mm.
But God gave me the strength to say, we're going to use another reference. What's love got to do with it? When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're going to fight back. Yeah. And you use God as your strength. I'm not telling everybody to do that because not everybody has that mentality. We don't know what's going to happen when you try to leave somebody that's abusing you because they might kill you. But right. You got to do it safe. What I did was praise to God about it. And then I watched them. I tell my girls all the time, keep your eyes open and your ears. Because mm-hmm. that's what's going to guide you. Mm-hmm. From knowing a person, you can be with a person for a year or 2 years and still not know that person. Mm-hmm. Until you hit the wrong button.
Right.
So you got to be careful. I ain't saying be afraid to live and to date. I've been single 3 years. I'm okay right now. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I heard someone say, or maybe I read it somewhere, I can't remember. But that even before you marry a person or really get seriously involved, mm-hmm. you want to see them in every kind of emotional state.
Right.
You want to see them angry.
Yes.
You want to see what they do when they get mad. You want to see what they do when they're really sad and or grieving. You want to see what they do when they're like really excited and something wonderful happens. How do they respond when they get into those types, you know, when they get into those feelings? And if you're with someone and you've never seen them get upset about anything, you've never seen them, you know, me personally, I would probably question it a bit. I'm like, you don't ever get angry, you don't ever get mad.
They need to be real. Yeah, that's fake.
Yeah.
It needs to be real.
Yeah.
And what I learned now, building friendship is number one, because then you get to know that person.
That's right.
You get to know what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and how they react.
Yes.
Another thing is communication.
Yes.
If you don't keep that communication going, you don't know what either other person is thinking.
Exactly. And
I think that's what holds the relationship together. Talk about your likes, your dislikes, what you want in a relationship. Quit being afraid to speak your mind, holding it in. That's how we settle.
Yes.
That's how we settle for anything and everything that come our way. Some man told me one day, girl, you're 56 years old. How much longer do you think you're going to do? We need to have fun now. I say, go have fun by yourself. Because if I be alone, I'm going to be alone. I will be alone before I settle. Come on.
Yes.
At my age, you get wiser. And you want to teach the younger generation coming up, this is what you need to watch out for. You don't need no older man. What is the older man doing with a child anyway? Go get a woman your own age if you man enough to keep her. So.
Oh, that's some good stuff. I pray that everyone listening and watching are actually learning and picking up on all these nuggets, because I don't think anyone walks into a relationship saying, oh, I want to get beat up.
No.
Be a domestic violence survivor 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, or 30 years from now. I don't think, I know nobody does that. However, there are thousands of people, dare I say millions of people who end up in that situation. So how did you finally get out of the situation? Because clearly you're here talking to me right now, bless God. So you were able to get out. How did you do that?
With the help of God. And that's in the book too. My husband, when I started fighting him back, he got the rifle.
You mean physically? Like you started hitting him back physically?
Oh, yes, Lord. But see, when I started fighting him back, now he do sneaky tactics. He sneaks up on you from behind. So you can't face him and fight him back. So he went and bought a Winchester rifle. Hold on a second. I think my sister is creeping up this way.
Okay.
I'll be there in a moment. The thing is, when he bought the Winchester rifle, now it's like my fear that went up now, way above level. Because now he's got a gun. And I learned later, don't be scared of the gun. Be afraid of the person behind the gun. And by him being the way he was, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, what do I do now? So I finally got to the point where I was like, God, me and my family need to get out of here. I had just got baptized at the church. I was reading God's word more. And he was saying about how he would be your protector and protect you from fear. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. All of that. And I said, God, me and my kids need to get out of here. And I told my husband, I said, you need to let us out of the house. He gets the gun from up under the bed and say, okay, try it. I say, Robert, I still said it. I said, we need to get out of this house. He said, you that brave, call the police. I said, God, please give me the strength that I need right now to call the police. You pointing that gun at me, I want my kids out of here. Because if I die, at least get my kids out of here. So I begged God to do that. So I called 911. Whatever I was saying to the police officer, it's like she suspected I was in grave danger. So I was doing monosyllables, like one word at a time, but she was completing the whole sentences on the other line. And I remembered I stood there. I couldn't move. It was like I was frozen. So when the police officer said, where's the gun? I said, it's pointing at me. He was sitting on his bed, gun like this.
Wow.
Right at me. So I moved just a little bit to block my kids, hoping to God they was out of the way. So in other words, I blocked the gun. If he shoot it, it's going to come to me. It's not going to go to nobody else.
I got chills right now. You hear what I'm telling you?
So the woman said, the police are on the way. It seemed like it took forever for the police to come. And next thing I know, somebody starts banging on the door. It scared me. I jerked a little bit. And Robert hides the gun under the bed, and he goes and answers the doggone door. And I'm like, what the? So when the cops came through, they had guns held up. They bust the door open. And all I heard them say, where's the woman and the children? And Robert got out of the way, and they saw us in the living room, and they said, come on, get on out of here. But girl, before I left out there, I made sure my kids went in front of me, and then I almost forgot my books. Oh, no, you ain't keeping that. In a suitcase, I went back in there and got that whole suitcase with all the gifts God gave me and walked out the house. And when I walked out the house, girl, there were like six police cars lined up around our house, just idle there.
Wow.
Men outside their cars with the guns. They came so quiet, they didn't even make noise. They didn't use sirens. And I stood on that porch and said, God, you don't need to show me nothing else to go back in this. It's time for us to go.
I say,
I praise him maybe to this day now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Lord Jesus. I give him all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. That's why I talk to him like I do. I put my faith in him like I do. There was no one else there to save me. So it's like he guided me. Learn this. Be still and listen to that. Wait till the moment an opportunity comes. Don't make rash decisions. But at that time and that moment with that gun aimed at me, that was a rash decision that could have cost me my life, but God saved me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. Listen, I feel like this is the morning show for believers right now. I for a minute there, I forgot this will speak up.
Yes.
First, please forgive you, girl. I'm just a little uncouth right now because I got chills listening to her tell this testimony. Oh my goodness. And like I said, it's crazy because I've already read it in the book, but hearing you actually give voice to it, it is just powerful. And I bless God for your life.
If you see a tear come down, that's because of gratitude to him.
Yeah.
To my God. It ain't because I'm crying about that. He saved me from that. And he's showing me my path. He knew the plans he had for me. My husband wanted to kill me, but God had something else.
Yes.
And I'm alive today to tell the story.
Yes.
It took 21 years to write the book, but God allowed me to write it in 7 days.
Wow.
In exactly 7 days, because I stayed on it, because I figured if I stopped, I would have been afraid to complete it. And I just stayed on it every day, all through the night. Whatever God put in my mind that affected me the most, I started writing it down. And from Saturday morning to the next Saturday afternoon, I was through with that book. Finally got it out of the way 21 years later.
My goodness.
I never wanted to write about my story.
How many years total were you in the relationship with him before you finally got free?
Almost 17 years.
Wow.
It was like a couple of months because I left him in February. We met in May, the day after my birthday. Mm-hmm. My birthday is May 30th, so I met him May 31st. So like 3 months short of 17 years, that's when I left.
Wow. A great bulk of your adulthood you spent.
Oh, Lord, you ain't kidding. I missed out on my prom. I wanted to go to school. He wouldn't even let me go back to school. He didn't understand. Learning was important to me. That's what kept my family down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, illiteracy. I wanted to do better than that. But you're trying to keep me down. But thank God he put something in me that said I'm going to always rise to the top. And nobody putting me down. No matter what you do to me, you're not going to put me down.
Wow. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have you, Renee, as a guest on Speak Up Sis podcast. I feel honored to have been that you trusted me to your work and critique. Yeah. I couldn't critique this. This is God's work. What are you talking about?
Well, I thank you for the honor of giving me this chance. This is my second time, and you made it easy. Because I was nervous. I think my heart was in here doing this. You just couldn't see it. But you made it so comfortable where I can speak. Speak up, sis. And that's exactly what I did. Yeah.
Yes, you have officially been on the Speak Up Sis podcast, mm-hmm. virtual couch, honey. And you have released today, and I know that there are some people who are going to be blessed by you sharing.
I pray to God that they will. Yes. And what I always write in my book when I gave it to you, if there is anything in the world holding you back, ask God to break those chains.
Mm.
We women are evolving. We need to quit being punching bags. We need to quit letting people control our lives. We have hopes. We have dreams. We have a brain. We don't need nobody thinking for us. We okay. We good. We can appreciate your insight. But God gave us something too, and we need to use it.
Amen. That's a beautiful place to wrap this up. Please, if you will, please let these folks know how they can contact you.
By my email mostly, Gemini Productions. She just put it up there on the screen, y'all. Send me an email if you need some encouragement, if you want me to pray for you. I don't care. If you need to talk to me in private and let me know what you're going through, I can't tell you exactly how to get out of it, but I will tell you God will show you how to safely get out. And you got to listen to him, because the rash decisions that we make on our own could cost us our lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So listen up, everybody. I would like to thank you once again.
Thank you.
For joining me here on Speak Up Sis podcast and sharing your voice of triumph and what a voice it is. For those of you who are listening and watching, I am going to, I know this isn't Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. I know this isn't that platform, but I am going to encourage every single one of you to grab a copy of Shirley. And just because I can, I want to bless you today. We're going to put Shirley up on the new Speak Up Sis bookshelf.
What?
I am going to cover the cost of your.
Oh my goodness!
So don't even worry about that, sis.
What a blessing! Thank you, Jesus.
If you all would like to grab a copy of Renee Jackson's amazing book, it's entitled Shirley. You'll be able to find it on speakupsis.com/bookshelf. And it should be up by the end of today. Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Now, see, that's a blessing from God. I did not expect that. I figured I'm going to speak for him and let him handle the rest. So thank you, Angel. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. We're
gonna I was already trying to put my little coins together so I can put it on yourself. I just questioned you yesterday about putting my book on yourself. I was trying to get my coins together.
Keep your coins, sis. I got you. I'm going to take care of your first year on the bookshelf.
Amen.
We're going to get you some books sold, sis.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I hope everyone will be blessed by it. And like I said, let God be your God.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That's it for the day. You all have a wonderful day. And don't forget, open up your mouth and speak up.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today to Speak Up Sis Podcast. I invite you to visit me online at speakupsis.com and subscribe to receive updates on future Speak Up Sis Podcast episodes. Also, I'd like to thank our generous supporters. You all help make it possible for me to continue to create this safe space for everyday people to share their stories to inspire the stories of others. If you're listening and you'd like to support Speak Up Sis Podcast, click support in the app or visit speakupsis.com to make a one-time contribution. Remember, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So until next time, open up your mouth and speak up.